Well, it's been a rich morning already. It's just so good to be together. And I just, in the last part of this morning's service, I'm going to talk out of the book of Galatians. It was an epistle written around 49 AD to 54, depending on which commentary you would read. But Galatians is an interesting book because it speaks to all of us in the journey. In the beginning, Paul in chapter 1 is talking about the gospel being preached, and there were people talking about another gospel. And he was saying, whether it's an angel or anything else, let them be accursed if they leave the truth of the gospel. And then he was dealing with a very severe issue in the church it was the first major crisis, the Judaizers, who were coming to Christ, but when they became Christians, they felt like they needed to bring all the ceremonial law of Jewish tradition. And so new Christians actually felt sometimes disloyal to their heritage by not bringing their Jewishness into the early church. But they were bringing it in a way that their Jewishness had a certain merit before God. And Paul goes to a lot of trouble in other books about the Jews were the oracles of God, but that there's neither Jew nor Greek, male or female, but they were all one in Christ. And so in the third chapter, he says, you foolish Galatians, how would you like me to start the sermon like that with you today? You foolish people. Who does he think he is? Well, Paul thought he was something. You foolish Galatians, that which you began in the spirit, are you now being perfected in the flesh? And so there are some who believe that some of the Galatia was a region. It wasn't one city, and of three or four cities. And many believe that they were there on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit fell, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And remember, that day 3,000 were saved, and then they dispersed after the festival and went out. He said, oh, foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you? That which you begin in the Spirit, are you now being perfected in the flesh? And He goes to great trouble in chapters 4 and 5 talking about that circumcision doesn't matter or uncircumcision. It's faith towards Christ. But if we don't get this right, there's two ways Christians go. They go to legalism. How many love legalism? How many know what legalism is? Everybody know what legalism is. How many like being around legalistic people? It's terrible. It's like sucking on a tart lemon. When you get around someone who's religious, they quote scripture inappropriately, they act holier than thou, you just recoil from it because there's something inauthentic about it. It's sort of like a veneer, a religious veneer over something. And so also, since we get saved by faith through grace, now we're getting saved by works, by following the law and doing everything just right. That way I'll be worthy to God. But none of us are worthy, except that we're made worthy by Christ. And then the other fault here is that because of legalism, I hated legalism so much, someone says, they go the other way and now they're free. They can do whatever they want. Go wherever. They don't need to be at church. They can go and do because God knows where I'm at and all of that. So that's a rebound the other way. And Paul is saying, no, don't, you foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you? Who's taught you you don't need the body of Christ? It didn't come from me. Who taught you that? And he says, you've got to come back, and he's encouraging them. So he gets to the sixth chapter, which I'm going to read. If we can bring that up. Sixth chapter of Galatians. I see no head. Oh, there it is. So just follow along. Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one of you looking to yourself, so that you will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens. Would you say that with me? And therefore fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, what a powerful statement. If anybody here thinks they're something, I'm not talking about, we all appreciate God's work in our lives and the work of others, but what he's saying, when we get bigger, we get inflated in our own mind, If anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he'll have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. For each one will bear his own load. Would you say that one with me? The one who is taught in the word to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from his flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we will reap it if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially those in the household of faith. So we're called to be ambassadors of reconciliation. We are called to be envoys of peace. We are called to be repairers of the breach. We are called to be burden bearers. How many get goosebumps when I say that? How many of us, sometimes it's none of my business, it's not really my business, I shouldn't get involved. There are times you shouldn't. There's a proverb that says if you get in things you're not involved in, it's like grabbing a dog by an ear and shaking it. But there's this place where we bear one another's burdens. When we do that, we endure and we have patience. Burdens are weak. And this burden-bearing thing is a two-edged sword. I want to make it clear, it's something I've tried to share all these years, because there is a danger that as we bear someone else's burdens, that person becomes a leech. A leech has two names according to Proverbs. You know what they are? Give. And it's possible that leeches can develop where we're just sucking dry people. And if anyone's ever had a friend or a relative or a pastor that's like that, we're called to bear one another's burdens, but the other side of it, each one will carry his own load. In 2 Thessalonians 3:10, it says, if you don't work, you don't eat. So there's this sense of stewardship and responsibility that there's no freeloaders in the body of Christ. And remember, it's like this, the widow's mite, she gave at the temple, and she gave this little widow mite, and it was worth nothing in terms of, it's not going to help the temple, it's not going to do anything, but Jesus said she had given more than everybody else. And he was looking past something into her motives, and she was bearing her own burden to give back what she had. When we bear one another's burdens, we fulfill the law of Christ. But let's go back to our responsibility. Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. I would challenge myself and all of us here today that cast word is a big, powerful word. I mean, it's a word of fury. It's a word of dynamicism. Did I say that right? Dynamicism. It's a powerful word that you, whatever burdens you carry, that you cast it, you throw it on the Lord because he can carry it. The key to carrying your own load is first getting it off you onto the Lord. That's the number one thing. When we carry our own load, but we got to get to the Lord first. If we don't get to the Lord and we want the body to carry the burden, the body will be a poor second, and you'll be disappointed with the church because the church didn't do enough. The church wasn't sensitive enough. The church didn't meet my needs. I had expectations. Don't have expectations on anybody but yourself. Bear your own burden and thus fulfill the law of Christ. Amen. Everyone will carry his load, but his own load, but we're not alone. Look at Psalm 68:19. There it is. Blessed be the Lord who what? Who what? No way. No way. That he does not do that every day. He does it often, He does it at revivals. He does it at special high times. But are you kidding me? Doesn't God have more to do? He daily bears the weight, my burdens, somehow me alone in the midst of 7 billion people and this entire universe, that he daily bears our burden, that God Almighty, whatever's weighing you down, God, he is bearing it with you. You are not alone. He is not an abstract picture on the wall or some kind of philosophy. He's alive. He's risen, and he's bearing this burden, the God who is our salvation. That's a great comfort to me, a great confidence. I don't care what we go through, height nor depth nor power nor principality nor things present nor things to come, life, death, he daily bears our burden. And if we will cast it there, we connect with him. He knows he knows who we are. He knows our infirmities. He knows our weaknesses. How many feel like you can fake God out? How many have tried? I used to teach school, and the kids would be cheating, and they'd just put a book in front of their face while they were copying the other paper. That's about how you do it with God when you're trying to get away with something. He can't see me. I blocked it out, and whatever else is going on. He sees all. He knows all. He is faithful. Isaiah 46, 3 and 4. Isaiah 46. The other part about this burden is that it's not just today, it's all through life. Listen to me, O house of Jacob and all the remnant of the house of Israel. You who have been born by me from birth and have been carried from the womb, even to your old age, I will be the same. And even to your graying years, I will bear you. I have done it, and I will carry you, and I will bear you, and I will deliver you. There's no terminus on this. God's going to be with you both now and forever. Turn to somebody and say, I believe that, would you? There we go. I got some eyelids to come up on that. And one last one, and again, this is Psalm 37, 23 through 25. It's about the idea that this is not just a passing thing. And he's speaking to you individually. When you think about your life, I want you to think about your life that they're established by the Lord. It doesn't say the steps of a Christian man. It just says the steps of a man. I mean, God's been, his prevenient grace has been at work in your life. He put you in the family, the place, the country, the ethnicity, the sex, the everything. And those steps are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Continue. Next verse. When he falls, he will not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. That's an amazing thing, that metaphor, that God is so close to you, bearing your burdens, that even when you fall, you're not going to crash and burn. He'll grab your hand. I have been young, that's me, and now I'm mature. No, now I am old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, or his descendants begging bread. Next verse. Oh, that's it. Okay, we'll just leave that. I've been young and now I am old. So this burden, so God himself, it doesn't burden him for you to be a burden to him. Any more than a parent can see one of their children come up and go, Mommy, Mommy, I need it. And they say, What is it? What is it? It's something stupid. Or, you know, they're coming up and they're going, I'm a daddy, daddy. And we say, come here. And we draw them in and they're all shook up. Someone stomped on a caterpillar or something. They're very upset. And so when we come to God, Lord, I'm really struggling. I really am. I don't know what to do. I know you're in this, but so you're now, we're entering in, and that burden that you're carrying ties into his burden for God's glory to be revealed through the interaction of what's happening in your life. He's with us in the valley of the shadow of death. This is one proverb I don't care for very much. I like it, but I don't like it. It says, the Lord weighs the motives. In Proverbs 16:2, this is a very powerful thing to think that God not only weighs my actions, but he actually weighs my motives. What's behind my actions? That my motives mean as much to him as my actions. Wow. And he weighs them somehow. How do you get a scale and weighs? Kevin, where are you coming from on this? Is this about you, Kevin? Is this about your advantage? Can you forgive? Can you let them go? Can you? Will you? I can, but they're so bad. They're so wrong. Get it out. He can handle that. But then it's, again, the motives. Okay, my motive. Okay, all right. My motive is to please you. Okay, but you're not pleasing me. Okay, so we got an impasse here. Who wins? The 500-pound gorilla always wins. God Almighty wins. Always. Always. You can pay me now or you can pay me later. So if we don't yield, we do a detour around what God's showing us. That detour will sabotage us somewhere along life, and then we'll come back. Try to, anyway. So I want us to be very aware that our motives in this burden bearing, I mean, the motive is to be love. Love is the reason. So we're called to bear one another's burdens. That burden is a lifelong sharing of life. How many enjoy that? I mean, sometimes it's very holy and intimate and it's rich and it puts fabric into relationships. And I love that part of it. But on the other hand, sometimes you want to just say, hey, let people do what they're doing. I got to do what I do and that's it. But that's not what God's saying. He says, don't be that way. Bear them. Pick up the weights that are on them. People are weighted down. People are beaten up. And you're spiritual. If you see somebody caught, if you're spiritual, go restore that person. Set the limb back in place. Fix them if you can. Do it in a way that is gentle and loving. These were all challenges and singular responses, these first five verses. But it leads to that the law of Christ, bearing one another's burdens, thus fulfills the law of Christ. Well, that is love. And I want to bring up John 13:34 and 35. A new commandment, this is not a suggestion, I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you would also love one another. And that's what's new about that, because it was in Leviticus too. But I'm to love you the way Jesus loves me. I can't do it without the Holy Spirit and without a lot of grace. And I don't know if I just know I can do it in faith. But to love you the way, and you to love me the way Christ loves us. It's a new commandment. He's saying, this I command you. He believes in his lordship that he can give you commands and you will obey because you are under him. If you're not under him, you can do whatever you want. But if you're in his lordship, this is a command. Next verse. By this all men will know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. Love speaks louder than words. John 14:15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. John 15:12. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. I won't take the time because he actually goes through John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18 are all at the Last Supper. And I've often wondered if I had two hours to live and I had a captive audience, what would I want to tell them? How would I put that? And Jesus, all he talked about was love and loving one another. That was the most important thing. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love is the perfect bond of unity. Husbands, love your wives. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Perfect love casts out fear. The love of Christ is being shed abroad in our hearts. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love that doesn't take into account a wrong suffered. Man, it's a lot of stuff in there about love. The Galatians had moved off of love into doctrine and misplaced doctrine, and they were a legalistic group of people that had walked away from the joy of their original salvation. And Paul is giving this corrective to them. Verse 6, and I'll be bringing this to, this is my first bring to the close. He says, the sixth point in this, because each of these points, there's 10 verses here, and the sixth one is, give to him who teaches, working, a workman's worthy of his hire. I never wanted to be a preacher. I wanted to be a preacher. I wanted people feeling like they were keeping me going, you know, and I didn't like that kind of dependency. But then I look at you, and if your boss doesn't pay you on Monday, you're in trouble. Charles Simpson's funny. He talks about ministers. He says, you know, the funny thing is, if the plumber comes over to the house and fixes the toilet, do you ever say to the plumber, praise God, I appreciate that so much, brother. See you later. Plumber's waiting for his check. He said, and so men of God is worthy of his hire. If you go to the Old Testament, you see every time they wanted to meet with the prophet, they had to have a gift, the prophet. And it was built into the culture. But it's we don't need to belabor that, but he's just saying, don't shortchange. And, you know, a friend who started two churches, he wasn't being paid enough. He had a family to take care of. The congregation would do it. He took a side job. Then the congregation complained about the side job. Eventually, he left the ministry to take care of his family. Sad. Seventh one is, God is not mocked. You can't beat the system. No matter how hard you try, there's no way. The righteous man shall live by faith. Faith working through love. There is no external profession or some kind of thing that you can do with God that will be a substitute for faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And where there's true faith, there is grace. It's working through love. And love to God gives me the grace I need to love the brethren. The eighth one is to sow in the spirit rather than to the flesh. The flesh is our carnality, our self-protection, where we're self-absorbed. And this is a law that you can remember. Whatever you do with your life, if you're young, what are you sowing towards? Because one day the harvest comes in. If you're sowing to the wind all your life, when you get to be my age or even older, you'll reap wind. Today is the day of salvation to sow into the kingdom and to sow these things and to take on these responsibilities. These bearing one another's burdens isn't for professionals, for pastors or Christian counselors. It's for us, all of us, as believers. So with all of this, in this limited time we have, he says, sow to the Spirit. You know what blessed me this morning? I found out about it. One of the men in the church just moved into a new house, and like, I don't know how many guys, I'm going to guess 10, was it 10 more? 20 men in the church went over to that house and just cried out to God for blessing over that house. What are they sowing towards? Eternal. That house is a place, a special place. And I won't tell you whose house it was, but his initials are Peter Herman. Was it good, Peter? Does it make you feel something about it? That it's like a stamp of approval. But this is the brethren bearing each other's burdens. It wasn't a negative, sicky, I'm dying burden. It was just, man, we want to make this guy know he's blessed of God, and we're going to go there and lay hands on this thing and just say, God, Oh, let him be the priest of his home. Bless his wife. Bless the four children, Lord. He's waited for years for that. They've been living in a 600-foot apartment for years with four kids. And now this, they're in a mansion 1,500 feet, right? They're not going to be able to sleep for days. Lord, help them. That's bearing a burden in a good way. They're all in a good way. And finally, he says, don't lose heart. This is number 9. Or throw away your confidence. Because there's great reward. We have need of endurance. So that when we've done the will of God, we'll receive what is promised. Many people throw it away. They just throw it away. Don't do it. Don't lose heart. He'll help you. The reason he says don't lose heart is because it means you can lose heart. You can. But that's another thing. If you've ever done this with someone who is losing heart, you're bearing burdens. Yeah, I just feel like my life is coming undone. I'm really, really hurting. God seems a million miles away. That's where you come in. Or maybe that's you. And somebody else comes in, bearing burdens. And then lastly, 10, so while we can, do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. So I think that's a misprint, do good to all men. That's all. So many times we have our Christian friends in our Christian world, our Christians are like this, and they're a certain way, but when they're with people that aren't Christians, they're not the same. We're to be one and the same to all men, but especially those in the household of faith. I don't want to feed the world, but then have my own family starve. So we need to take care of our own, but then also that's not an inward picture only, it's outward. So let's stand. Worship team, come up, please. It's been a great morning. I want to close with a challenge to you that whatever's gone through your grid this morning, whatever you're thinking about, that beyond your present circumstances, God has a sovereign plan. He knows what's going on in your life. Whether you acknowledge it or don't acknowledge it, He knows. Second thing is to be thankful to God for people who will walk with you and through life. Gratitude is the parent of all virtue. Thank God. If you have faithful friends, thank God for them and pray for them. Thirdly, trusting God in your circumstances is not necessarily knowing how it's going to turn out, but knowing that God will perform. He's our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. It's like the shoes that Kay didn't get. Turns out he gets Jerry Rice's. I don't know how that works. How this thing's not working out, or is, it's something there for you. God is full of surprise too. Our part in life is not getting out of the situation we're in, but to be led out by the Holy Spirit and move in the right direction. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Well, this morning has been a great day. We have dedicated 2 children and their family to the Lord. I believe that is of eternal consequence. I don't know how to put it all into perspective, but seeing all of you come this morning and being up here reminds us that we're together in this thing. And it's very exciting, very challenging, but it's about love and loving